Hey, so back in the 90s, when I was a youth pastor at a church in Orlando, I was there for about 8.5 years, we would take mission trips. We would do choir tours. We would have mission trips, and we were going to Trinidad at the time, and I always liked going down out in the countryside, down south, Rochard Road, Pinal, if you know anything about Trinidad. And anyways, we'd be down there, and I would have probably 24 people, and I'd split 12 of them, go up in the city. I'd stay down in the country because that's just where I fit better. And we'd be down there, and we would do vacation Bible schools, like in the morning. And we were living in the church, in the upstairs part of the church at Rochard Road Church. And the kids were always around playing, even we didn't have Bible school, but we'd have Bible school in the morning, then that would last till lunch, then we would have evening, you know, worship services, meanwhile playing with all the kids and getting to know the community. It was really pretty cool out there, just becoming family, going year after year to the same place. But at night, we'd be tired, man, long worship services, and they were great worship services. And we'd get in probably 11, 12 o'clock, where everybody finally left the church. We'd go upstairs, and we would have our time of devotion. We would never miss our devotions, man. It wasn't for some legalistic reason. It was because we needed them, man. We were worn out spiritually. We were worn out physically, mentally, and every way you could be worn out, we were worn out. So we would all just sit around in the upstairs area, sit down with our Bibles, and we would do the Psalms. Whatever the date was, we would read that chapter of Psalms. And then we'd add 30 to that and read that one, add 30 to that and read that one. And we'd read 5 Psalms that night. Didn't go over them as thoroughly as we do in our Wednesday night Bible study, but we would just go over, we'd just read them. And then I'd have like, you know, 15 people there, including adults and kids and everything. And I'd just say, hey, what stuck out to you? What stuck out to you? What stuck out to you? And it was amazing how every night at devotion time, we would be talking into 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, knowing we'd be having to get up with the roosters at 6 o'clock. And it didn't matter. We were just so into the Word of God and watching how every night when we were studying and we were looking at this, it was a crystal ball into the next day. You hear what I'm saying? Man, whatever God was showing us, we would at first be kind of freaked out. Like, you know, when I had new people come, they're like, whoa, you know, they're like, did you see what we read last night? That's exactly what happened tonight. And then after a while, everybody would just get used to it. They'd be looking at what we were reading that night, knowing that that's what they were going to face the next day, and that God had prepared them in all of that. And it was just so cool to watch how the Word of God is alive. It is relevant. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, man. If you're a believer, it's alive. Just pick it up and read it like JJ's saying. You know, I'm going off tangent a little bit. Bring me back to Trinidad here in a little bit, Ashley. But read it. If Cohen, man, again, Cohen last night, he was at our house. If I'd had a big old porterhouse steak, man, cooked just the way Skylar likes it, right? You like porterhouse steaks, and one's about that thick, right? If I put that in front of Cohen, what would he do with it? Now, I know what he would do. It. He's got that backwards little inchworm crawl on his back. I saw that. And I did. I put a big old mat out, and I put a can. And he crawled to the can. He pushed up, did his little scooch up there to the can. But I know, because he's your son, he would at least get to the big porterhouse steak. And what would he be able to do with that porterhouse steak? Not nothing. But he wouldn't be able to do much compared to Skylar. You think he would gnaw on it a little bit if Emily wasn't around, because he can't eat food for how much longer? Almost 2 more weeks, right? Right. And buddy, we're gonna pack him full of food. Well, whatever's allowed, all right. But man, I guarantee you that little boy, because he's your son, Skylar, he'd be licking on that steak and he'd be getting it. Is that what you would do if I put that steak at the end of the mat for you? Now, you'd pick it up with your hands if there were no utensils, and you would gnaw it to the bone and get every little nook and cranny and crevice of meat out of that bone, right? Because you're an experienced eater. And so if you're worried about when you read the Word of God that God, I just don't understand it. No, here's what that means to you. If you're a believer and you say, I just don't understand it, what you mean is you don't understand it all. That's what you really mean. It means you don't understand as much as you'd like to understand. But now, when Cohen gets a little bigger, right, we're going to take a little family dinner night, we're going to take a little fork, his size, Not even giant fork, you know, like the ones we have hanging on the wall, the big ones, no. But he's a little fork, we're going to cut him little pieces, right? And he's going to be able to eat a little piece. I don't know how many little pieces he's going to eat, but he's going to eat at least one, right? And that's what happens when you read the Word of God. God's going to cut a little chunk off for you. And it may not be all, you're like looking at the whole steak. I want the whole thing. I want to understand the deep things of God. I want to understand all the. No, all you're responsible to do is take what God cuts off and puts on the fork and gives it to you to digest. And for a long time, that's all he may do. But how many of y'all are glad that he doesn't just dump the whole Word of God on you and you're responsible for all of it? They go, well, I don't understand it. No, you do. Just take the little piece that he's cutting off and take that, digest it, and apply it to your life. And that, once you apply it to your life, now it's yours. You own it. And nobody can ever take that away from you. Your mind can always be renewed by remembering what God did through that little chunk on the fork. And slowly but surely, you may be able to understand a little more and understand a little more, but it's always going to be when you read his word, he's going to give you something to apply. So many times people are like, well, you always talk about God speaking to you. How does he speak to you? He doesn't speak audibly, because if he did, I wouldn't be here. I'd be freaked out. I'd be dead, right? He speaks through his word. So when you read his word and he cuts that little piece out for you, your question to him is, what do I do with this? And all of a sudden, God will open up circumstances, situations. He'll open things up for you to be able to apply that to your life. And you'll be in the middle of it saying, God just spoke to me. Oh my goodness, God directed me to do this. And as you keep doing that with the Word, you'll start learning how to hear his voice through the Word, because that is the only place he speaks in this day and age, is through his Word. So, man, his word is so valuable. Again, when we were doing these devotions late at night, till 1, 2 in the morning, we couldn't shut up, the whole group, because they were like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be looking for this tomorrow. I can't wait to see how God does this tomorrow and this, does this. And one thing in particular that stuck out to me with the passage we're looking at today is there was a girl, we were up there one time, and this was a girl named Sarah Kaufman. A godly young lady in the midst of, you know, a bunch of lukewarm Christians in a Christian school, you know, not at Trinidad, but in school, she would just stand for her faith no matter what. And she was a phenomenal basketball player. Dude, our guys, we were 1A, and if you know about anything about 1A in Florida, that's where they recruit people, and 1A teams can beat 7A teams and stuff because they've got, like, you know, the little mini LeBron Jameses and stuff. Our 1A team, during her reign there, our 1A boys team was always in the top four in the state championship in 1A. And she would beat them in one-on-one. She could whoop them tiny. She'd whoop you, I guarantee it. Because you'd be, they all look like. And there she was outside, just, you know, boom, just dumping them. She ate, slept, and drank basketball and loved it. And she had the most giddy personality you could ever meet. If you said, hey, Sarah, she'd go, You know those kind of people? They're just giddy. Hey, how's it going? Oh, it's good. You know, she was just literally, that's the way she was. And so one night we were in Psalms, and all of a sudden, man, we get to Sarah. Sarah, what stuck out to you? And said, I now understand why I'm so giddy. And I'm like, well, why? She said, look at this verse. She says, God has me under his wings. She said, you know how under the wings of a bird, it's got that, you know, that down, that those ticklish feathers. She said, as I stay under God's wings, she said, he's always tickling me, and that's why I'm always laughing. I was just like, awesome, you know, you're right. And it's amazing when you look, especially in the Psalms, and you see how many times there's protection under God's wings. How many times you look and God tells you to get under his wings. That's where we start in a battle plan against the enemy. And that's what we're going to see in Revelation chapter 12, the second half. Last week we looked and we saw Satan got kicked out of heaven, man. There was a war up in heaven, and Satan and his angels lost and they got kicked out. Now they're down to earth for the last 3.5 years of the existence of this planet. The great tribulation period, that's where they're at. They're down here, and they come after all of God's people with a vengeance. And when you look at this outline and you see how God's people survive, it gives us a great battle plan on how to survive the time that we live in right now. So let's take a look at this real quick. And JJ, are we coming back here? All right. Again, I told you every week, I tell you, Revelation is not a scary book if you're a believer, because Christ reveals to us who he is in all of his glory and how it all ends, and how it all ends, we win. Guaranteed, it's a done deal. You're a betting person, bet everything in your entire life on the fact that we win, right? And it was given to the church to be an encouragement. So where we're at in Revelation chapter 12 today, we're gonna go a lot of different places, but it's all based on this Revelation chapter 12, where Satan gets thrown out of heaven, and him and all his demons are on this earth. And so I want to share with you this point right here. War on earth requires a battle plan. Okay, can you imagine if you had a football team and you didn't have a battle plan to go in? You know, you just kind of got up there and said, all right, let's just call some plays. A basketball team, and all you're doing is throwing hook shots from half court. You got no plays, no plan. If you have no plan, you're going to get beat by somebody that does have a plan. In fact, that's what I'm kind of looking at. Aside from Vegas controlling the referees and being in all of that, you know, it's an insult. Never mind. I'm not even going to go into that part of it. But aside from that, you know what I see most in sports? Buddy, I see a lot of sports. My wife's always got sports on. If it's not girls softball, it's guys baseball. If it's not basketball, it's football. Whatever it is, and right now we are in the middle of girls softball, guys baseball, and I think we finished basketball last night, but I went to bed before it even started because, you know what, it was going to turn out the way Vegas wanted it to turn out anyways, and it did. So anyways, here we go. So in that, oh my, you know what I watch? Here's what I've been watching, in especially basketball, football, watching all these sports. You know what it comes down to a lot of times? Who's got the better coach? So many of these players are all kind of equal. You know, they're all stars. They're all studs. But the coaches, I've watched so many teams lose because they have been out-coached. They've been out-coached. College football, oh my goodness, you can see it all day long in that. That one coach just out-coaches the other coach. He may be losing it the whole first half, but then the second half, he's figured out what this guy's doing, and he out-coaches them, and that's the team that wins. You've got to have a plan. We have the best coach. God Almighty is our coach, and he's given us a battle plan. So war on earth, we are in a war. This right here, this is not a cruise ship. This is a battleship, all right? You may have thought, well, I got on the wrong ship. No, this is a battleship. And I'm going to show you that. So many people think church is a cruise ship. And you know what? And so many pastors are nothing but Captain Steubing. How many of y'all remember Captain Steubing on the Love Boat? Right? You know, trying to make sure the air conditioning is just right, the seats, everything's all perfect for you and everything, because you got to be comfortable on this cruise ship, right? Well, this is a battleship. And what we're supposed to be learning here is how to represent Christ in this battle that he's got us in. And in the end, we have the greatest celebration of a victory that you've ever seen in there. So war on earth requires a battle plan. And here's the plan. If you don't listen to nothing else, and I'm going to show you this in the outline, stay under his wings. Remember Sarah Kaufman? Let me hear your best Sarah Kaufman, y'all. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, one more time. Some of y'all missed that. And you're like, I didn't know what a Sarah Kaufman was. Let me hear your best Sarah Kaufman again. There it is. Man, and that's what God wants. He wants you under his wings, being tickled by those feathers, man, and worrying about absolutely nothing. So stay under his wings by staying under his will, by staying under his word, all right? And it wasn't my idea to make all those W words. I promise it wasn't, but God gave it to me that way. Under his wings, under his will, under his word. And in that order, we will see. Now, look in Ephesians, if you will, a couple verses real quick here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, and 12. And I picked these verses because I just want you to see that you do have a well-orchestrated, a well-trained team enemy that you are going against. And if they're well coached, they're well trained, they're obedient to their coach and everything, and they're ready to whoop up on you, and you come in just going, oh, let's just see what life has today. No, you're gonna lose. You've got to have a battle plan. So listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, and 12. He says, finally, this is Paul in the book of Ephesians, obviously, finally, be strong in the, in who? Not you. It's not you muscling up your strength. All right, I got to put up, No, be strong in the Lord. So that means you got to be saved, you got to be in the Lord. But you got to know what you have in the Lord. Wisdom. You know what wisdom is? I just heard a preacher talking about it. I wish I could remember which one, whatever. But he said, wisdom is the ability to quit asking for stuff that you already got. Quit asking for stuff that you already got from God. God has given us strength. God has given us the ability to be in Him. But if we don't realize we have that ability, we don't realize that we've already won, we don't realize what we have from God, we keep asking for things that we already have, which means we don't realize we have them, which means we don't exercise them. You know, it'd be like a football team. Boy, I wish we had a quarterback when they've got the All-American quarterback. They just drafted right there. If they would just use him, but he's sitting on the bench. Be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of His might, He says, in that. What did I have up there? The strength of His might, right, JJ? There we go. It's, some of it's blocked up there. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes. The King James says wiles. You'll stand, be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of who? The devil. So the devil has schemes against you. Yes, the devil does. Just choo-choo, shotgun, poo, poo, poo. Just scatters, you know, lead out there. We all get hit by the world that he has created and all the junk that goes in. But do you know that he's got a rifle specially dialed in for you? He's got that scope dialed in at 15 yards because that's where he can get you. He's got that scope dialed at 100 yards because that's where he's got a scope dialed in right specifically for you. And if he's shooting at you, Joey, bam, it doesn't seem like you have a chance because he's a marksman. He can hit his targets and so can every one of his demons. But if he's shooting at you, what is the only thing that can protect you if his bullets are right on target specifically for you? What's the armor? Yeah, you put on the armor and he hits the armor, big deal. You just keep walking. But if you don't have the armor on, you get hit, you get dropped, you're down. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God, because if you're missing one piece of armor, where's the devil going to shoot? He's aiming for the piece that's not there. That you may be able to stand against the specific schemes of the devil that he has for you. He knows what brings you down. He knows how to, how many of y'all had a brother or sister in your life that knew how to push the right buttons? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, buddy. Or anybody in your family knows how to push the right buttons. That's him. That's the specific schemes. Only these buttons are deadly. And so he's got that. We've got to put on this armor. But look at this. Here's the part I want you to see in light of the message today. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. How many of y'all had a disagreement with somebody recently? How many of you had a problem with somebody recently? Any of y'all? Y'all got purple? Who said, oh yeah? Oh yeah, there it is. Yeah, you spoke for everybody. But do you know it was not a problem between you and them? He said, that's not what it is. It's not a problem between you. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So you know what? Here's what you had a problem with. One of you, and quite possibly both of you, did not want what God wanted. Because if everybody wants what God wants, then you get what you want. But if somebody doesn't want what God wants, and both people don't want what God wants, then you know what? That's that sin set that flourishes in the system Satan has set up. That we're not fighting against each other. We're fighting against God. The best thing you can do is get in the program of what God wants, and you do it. You know, Samantha, I mean, what? No, huh? Savannah, yes, I'm sorry, Savannah. You were there, all right. I know, and you got a million kids, right? You got a million kids. Now, I don't know, I may be blowing this. Do you ever spank your kids? Oh, good, all right. No, because the Bible does say, foolishness is built up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. So if you got two kids fighting and only one is guilty, how many spankings we dish out? One. Yeah, if you can get to the bottom of that. But if all of a sudden, man, they're both guilty because they've done this, because this one did this and this one, which is what usually happens, right? How many spankings you got now? Two. Everybody who's guilty. So in this, if you will simply, Savannah, if you will do what God wants you to do, then you ain't in a spanking line. And that's a good place to be. But when you retaliate and you react the same way, when you let somebody drag you down to their level, now you're in the spanking line. And God can give you spankings. Anybody ever got a spanking from God? Yeah, it's correction, it's discipline, because you represent Him and He doesn't want you representing Him with sin. So we don't wrestle. Look at this. Again, the main point of this right here, look at this whole passage. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Who does all that belong to, God or Satan? Satan. He has a well-orchestrated army. They are well-trained. They are organized. And they have specific game plan against you and me. And if we don't, again, it would be like us walking out into a football, Miami Dolphins, all right? Let's just say that, you know, you got to go see a Miami Dolphin game and you want a drawing and they're like, all right, Spencer, you get to go out and be on the field with the Miami Dolphins, all right? You against the Miami Dolphins. As bad as they are. No, I'm just joking. But man, they're there. The whole defense is right there and they give you the ball and say, down, set, hut. If you don't have a game plan, what's getting ready to happen? You're getting crushed. You're getting crushed. Your baby's going to have a crippled daddy. I'm just saying. You've got to be ready. You've got to be on guard. And that's what the whole point of this, he's not telling us specific ways to fight the enemy here, because I'm going to tell you right now, the best way to fight the enemy is to follow God. The best way to fight the enemy is to follow God. Forget him, follow God, and God's got it. We'll see that. So for, do not wrestle against all this. He's got a well-orchestrated army. So understand the best thing you can do at this point is to what? Stay under his. Let me hear your best, Sarah Kaufman. Yeah, dude. I'm under his wings. Man, you know, I've even heard stories of where they've talked about where there were forest fires, giant fires, and the guys are going through the fire and they'll see a mother eagle there, dead, crispy, you know, dead, and they pick it up and there's live babies underneath the wings. Stay under the wings. God's never going to die, but he wants us to stay under his wings, and I'm going to show you how in just a second, and you're going to see how they did this in the book of Revelation in the last 3.5 years of this world. So it says, and when the dragon, who's the dragon? That's Satan, right? When the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, we saw that last week. He lost the battle in heaven. Now he's thrown down to earth, and he's going to actually lose 3 battles to God's people. You'll see that. But he was thrown down to earth. So when he found out he was down on earth and couldn't go back up to heaven, because what's he doing in heaven right now? And remember, what's he doing right now in heaven? He's accusing you. Every one of you, oh, look at Terry with his church seat. He's sitting straight up. His eyes are forward. He looks like he's paying attention to everything, just like some of you. But dude, you know what's going on in there. He's going, he's in church and he's not paying attention. This is straight from God to Pastor Eddie here, and he doesn't even care. He's thinking about lunch. He's thinking about this and thinking about whether he needs 50 amp or 30 amp for his Mustang. What is that? Is that a 50 amp? I was trying to figure that out the other day. I went in your garage. One of your daughters took me in the garage and she got electrocuted pulling it out, but no. Well, is it a 50 amp or is it 30 amp? Now he's going to be thinking about it. The whole church, I'm sorry for making you sin, brother. Anyways, I bet it's 50, but that cord's so small, man. But anyways, so again, Satan is up there accusing everybody. Kathy, oh my goodness, you know what she did before church? Oh my goodness, and you know what they did after church? And you know what? He's accusing always. And heaven got tired of all the accusations, and Michael kicked his tail with his angels and kicked him out, never to have to hear from him in heaven ever again. And now he's out, and he can't be accusing you. He can't be accusing you now and trying to make you guilty before God, because if you're covered by the blood, you're not guilty before God, even if you are guilty of the things he says you are. So when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down on the earth, he pursued. Hey, Barb Deal, what does pursued mean? What does it mean? When God was pursuing you five, six, seven years ago, what did it mean? Yeah, he was coming after you. He was in a loving way. He kept just making himself real. But here, this is Satan pursuing. Oh my goodness. And he's pursued on this earth. He's like a roaring lion seeking to devour whoever he can catch. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so now he's really ticked because he's limited and he is pursuing the woman. Remember the woman who had the baby that he was trying to kill? Who's the woman? Israel, okay? So Satan, the dragon, saw that he had been thrown down to earth. He is pursuing Israel, the woman who had given birth to the male child. And the male child is who? Jesus, all right? We got that from the last previous 2 weeks. And so you can imagine he gets thrown down to heaven, and now all hell breaks loose on Israel. But God's allowing it. They've been sucked in the first 3.5 years into the Antichrist system. He got them a temple, and they got to do temple worship, and they thought he was the Messiah. Man, he's bringing all this good stuff in. You know what? He's good, but at the halfway mark, he does something, and they realize he is not the Messiah, and when he gets kicked out of heaven, he goes full bore on them. Full bore on them. God's allowing it so that when the real Messiah comes, that they will realize that he's the real Messiah and they will accept him this time. So when the dragon saw it, he'd been thrown down to earth. He pursued the Israel and the one who had given birth to the Messiah. So he's still really, really mad because they brought the Messiah into the world. But he's also really mad. He's always trying to destroy Israel, because God has plans for Israel. And if Satan can get rid of Israel, he can destroy the plans God has for Israel and mess up God. But what we've learned in the last couple, 3 weeks is this. Help me out with this one. Nobody can mess up God's plans for anybody, including Satan. So he pursued the woman who'd given birth to the male child. Look at this. But the woman was given two wings. Ah, wings! Again, she was given two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent. So the serpent is pursuing her. God gives her a way to outrun the pursuit, a way to get away from the pursuit if she wants to listen to God. The ones that get left behind, the ones that aren't listening to God, they're getting trampled on. Many of them get killed. In fact, during this particular time, 2/3 of Israel dies. In this last 3.5 years, we already seen that. We'll see it again as we keep going through. So the ones that are listening to God, they're taken off with the means that God has given them to escape Satan's pursuit. She might fly from the serpent in the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. How many years is that, y'all? 3.5. We've seen it as 3.5 years. We've seen it as 42 months. We've seen it as this many days. He keeps talking about this 3.5 year time period. This is the final 3.5 years of the earth, the final 3.5 years of this planet and civilization. And so again, his goal is Israel is being pursued, but he's giving Israel a way to escape. And her way to escape, look at this again, she was given to what? Wings. Now, I don't know if these are really wings like this, just like in Psalms. I don't know if we're supposed to really find some big chickens and hide underneath them. I think it's more of a figurative scenario that God loves us like that mother eagle would have loved her children. Man, it's a symbolic thing that you get under God's wings, nothing's going to get you. The enemy can be all around you, but he can't pursue, he can't violate, he can't get through God's protection for you. So look at it again. But the woman was given two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent and get away and find protection in the wilderness. And again, JJ, we've talked about this whole, what's the name of that place that they're talking about? Petra, right. Petra, it's a cave city, a rock city. And you're like, well, if Satan knows where Petra's at, then he can do it. Not if God's got his wings over the cave doors. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that those who take God's protection are going to be okay. And it's the same with us. You hang out under his wings, you're going to be okay. And I want to show you a bunch of scripture today out of primarily the Psalms where he tells us that's where he wants us to be. So she's going to a place where she is to be nourished. She's going to be taken care of for 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of civilization. Satan is going to be there. Man, if you got anybody have a hamster? You ever had a hamster, anybody? All right, please talk my grandchildren out of never wanting one, all right? But yeah, y'all got hamsters, right? You've had hamsters? Guinea pigs, any of those things in the cages? And how many of y'all had a cat in the house at the same time? Oh, man, you were so deprived in your childhood. I'm just saying, but imagine you've got this cat that's hungry or curious, and you've got a cage full of hamsters around the wheel going, you know, they're on there running around in the tubes, you know, and the cat dude is like, oh, let me at them, let me at them, let me at them. If they're in the tube, can the cat touch them? If they're in the cage, can the cat touch them? Not unless you got one of those specially trained cats, but no, most people don't. But man, if they're on the wheel, wearing themselves out, the cat can't touch them. But what if the hamster learned how to open the door? You know, if I was a cat and the hamster was learning how to open the door, I think I'd back off a little bit. I wouldn't stand right in front of there because that would deter him from opening the door. I think I'd back off a little bit. I'd let him open the door, and the first time he come out, I don't know that I'd pounce on him, would you? If you were that cat. You guys do know, you who have cats, you know they would kill you if they could, right? They're violent anyways. but you know, the hamster gets out a little bit, and the cat's back there saying, you know what, he's going to get out again. Goes back in, the owner, oh, you got to leave the door closed. Hamster goes out. You know what, if that was that cat, I'd let that hamster get so away from the cage and its protection so that I could get between the door and the hamster. And I'd have me a hamster sandwich. That's why you don't get busted the first time you sin. That's why things don't fall apart when you start doing things wrong. Satan's going to let you get so far from your cage so that he can get between you and hopefully keep you from there. That's why you got to stay where your protection is. Your protection is under the wings. And that's what we're going to see. Exodus, this directly comes from Exodus 19:4. Okay, look at this. When he delivers them in Exodus chapter 19, they're talking about all the delivery they got from Egypt. He said, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Yeah, dude, man, he one of the coolest things that he did, y'all gone through those plagues in Egypt? How many of y'all would like to go home right now and open your cabinets and there'd be frogs everywhere? Dina, would you love that? Just, you know, man, big old chubby bullfrogs everywhere, all over there, and they're everywhere. And then you go in your bed and they're under your pillow. Well, you'd be busy all day, wouldn't you, getting rid of frogs? But man, frogs everywhere. And then God just says, get rid of them, right? Oh, yeah, you're not a frog person, are you, Fernanda? Yeah, I remember that and going over there. Yeah, so look at this. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Dude, I turned their water into blood. I made fleas, no-see-ums, and I even separated the no-see-ums. They were here and they weren't here. And then when I got rid of them, I got rid of all of them. You know, I did all these things to the Egyptians, so you know how powerful I am. And look at this, and how I bore you on eagles, what? And brought you to myself. You couldn't get there. I'm the one that gave you the wings and propelled you to myself. The wings. He uses them figuratively about him coming to rescue us, him coming to transport us, him coming to protect us. Look at this in Psalm 17:8. He says, the psalmist says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the where? How many of y'all ever prayed that? Any of y'all ever just having a rough time and you've actually prayed that? Write it down and circle it. It's a great prayer. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Man, I need a break. Ashley, the kids, man. You ever just hear, mom, 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 mom? And you go to the bathroom and there's no break, right? There is for dad, but not for you, right? You know, mom, God, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Try it and see what he does. He may bring somebody over. Hey, can the kids come out and play? Yes. And that's how he hides. Whatever. You leave it up to God, but hide me in the shadow of your wings. Here's something, God, I'm not comfortable with. Here's something, and if I got to become comfortable with it, then God, I understand. But if it's just something you want to show me that you can bring me comfort in, hide me in the shadow of your wings. If you never prayed it, pray it. Pray that. It's scriptural. It's Psalms he's asking us to. Psalm 36:7. How precious, God, is your steadfast, your unmovable, your infinite love for me, oh God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Refuge, what's refuge? It's a place of safety. But you know why a lot of people don't take refuge in the safety of his wings? Because they don't open that door. They don't go there. Instead, we're going to try to figure it out how we're going to do it ourselves. Psalm 57:1, look at this again. Be merciful to me, oh God. Don't give me what I deserve. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In you, God, I'm looking for rescue. I'm looking for rest. I'm looking for protection from you, not me. In the shadow of your what? I will take refuge. Man, look at all this wing stuff. Jules, you ever know all this wing stuff was in Scripture? Dude, it's here. You better figure out how to get under those wings. And if you listen and don't fall asleep, you will know by the end of this message. I promise. But look at this. The shadow of your wings, I'll take refuge. What if you don't even know where his wings are? What if you don't know how to get there? You're missing out on this. Till the storms, look at this. The shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Till this season, this situation goes by, I'm just hanging out with you, God. I'm hanging out with you because how many of y'all know that infamous song from VeggieTales? God is boogeyman. Yeah, thank you for singing it. Yeah, get that one in your band right there. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's there. And if you're under the refuge of his wings and you know that, you know nothing can come and penetrate. Nothing can mess you up if you take refuge in him till the destruction passes by. And maybe that's why he's got this situation happening, so you'll learn how to take refuge in him. It isn't always about, you know, winning, about fighting it. Sometimes it's just learning how to relax in him. How many of y'all are going to be freaking out in heaven? How many of y'all planning on relaxing in heaven? Yeah. No more sin, no more suffering, no more Satan, no more sickness. We rest by working for him in perfection. What a beautiful thing. Look at Psalm 61:4. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of what? Again, let me hear your best Sarah Kaufman. That's it. Under the refuge. Ben's got it, man. I know that was Ben. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. And look at this next word, Selah. You know what Selah is? Selah, this was music. And so Selah meant that you pause right now and you think about it. I think in your music now you have a thing. I was asking somebody, well, what do they use now to make you pause? And I think it was Matthew's, like, a pause. That's just called a pause, but that's a Selah. Stop and think about what he's just said. He says, Selah, take a time out. Don't just run by this. Every time in Psalms you see a Selah, take a time out and look back because God wants you to meditate on this. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, Selah. Last one in here, well, a couple more in here. Psalm 63:7. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your what? I will sing for joy. In the shadow of your wings, I'll sing for joy. So underneath, you're singing for joy under there. Man, there's all kinds of stuff going on around you. There's all kinds of stuff that everybody else is scared of. All kinds of stuff's happening. Can I get a drink of water real quick? My mouth just got really super dry and now I'm going to cough. But in the shadow of your wings, I'll sing for joy. you ever had a song in your heart? You ever just got up and you just got a song in your heart and you're bouncing around? Isn't that a cool place to be? What takes the song? The troubles of this world often. The situations that come in. But God has given you those to get under His wings. And we're going to learn how to do that. Thank you. And what do we say? Okay. And you have been my help, and a shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. Get under His wings so you've got that song again. You're bouncing around. Psalm 91:4. Psalm 91:4 is a great psalm. Psalm 91 is, if you're ever in a very dangerous situation, it's a great thing to pray and realize God's the one who's taking. Thousands are falling around. All these things are happening, but God's got me. No problem, God's got me. And in there, again, He will cover you with His pinions. We could talk about that, but we're talking about wings right now. And under His wings, you will find what? Refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. So stay under His wings. But you stay the way to stay under His wings is you got to stay under His will. In that, when is it that people kind of freak out and bolt and try to do something stupid? You ever been in a situation where it's gotten really crazy and you don't know what to do and you're just like feeling like, I got to do something? God's not telling me anything. I got to do something. We got to do something here. Why do you have to do something? Because you've made a self-imposed deadline? Maybe. Because the world says we have to do something. And if you bolt during those times and get out from under His will, you have now got out from under His wings. You know the shark, right? You got a shark, Joey? And what's that animal that has a special head that can stay stuck to a shark? The remora, right? So the remora is under the shark. And dude, when he's floating around, all of a sudden there's a frenzy. There's a frenzy. And the remora is stuck to the shark, and he's in the middle of a frenzy right now. Everything's going crazy. Milo, what would be the stupidest thing for that little remora to do in the middle of a frenzy? What? Let go. No, during that frenzy, you're right. You got to stay more stuck than you've ever been and count on the power of that shark to get you through that whole frenzy. And that's God, and we're the remora. And the dumbest thing you can do at that point when things get really, really crazy and make no sense, and again, this may be why I'm preaching this message. When God gave me this point right here, He made my heart cry. I was weeping because I've seen so many people in the heat of the moment when they don't know what to do, when things are just out of control, they bolt and they create themselves more problems. So again, you got to stay under His will. In the middle of the frenzy, the stupidest thing you can do is bolt and go find some other will. You got to stay there. Look at this. The serpent poured like water. It's back in Revelation again. So Satan comes after him, and he's pursuing him, and God gives them eagle's wings to be able to escape the pursuit. Satan doesn't give up. He has another attack that he loses at. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth, and the woman, after the woman, to sweep her away with a flood. Now, is it really he's just going to have a river and there's going to be literal water and try to sweep? Maybe. I don't know. It's not beyond God to be able to do that, no matter what the landscape looks like. But a flood, often in Scripture, is referring to being overwhelmed by trouble. You ever been flooded by circumstances? You ever just been flooded by lies? You've been flooded by negativity? You've been flooded by wrong advice? You've been flooded? So the serpent, here's where I'm saying going with this. The serpent poured water like a river out of his what? Yeah, and what was the very first thing we have in Scripture of what Satan let come out of his mouth? Who was it to, y'all? It was to Eve. And the very first thing he said, did God really say? Did God really say that? And all of a sudden, Eve started thinking, well, you know, he actually said it to Adam and not to me, so I don't really, did God really say that? When you let that get into your head, did God really say that? You're in a lot of trouble. When you start questioning God's authority, God's word, you're in trouble. And I'm talking about in context. So the serpent, he likes to take God's word and twist it. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted, 40 days and 40 nights, and there's three ways recorded. Every time Satan tempted him, he tempted him with the word of God, which was perverted. He twisted the Word of God around. He took it out of context. And Jesus came right back at him with the Word of God in context. So the serpent poured water like a river. And you know, during this time with Satan's in control, can't you imagine the lies that are going to be out there? I mean, look at right now. How much of this can we believe? Terry, how much of the news can we believe? What channel? What channel? It doesn't matter. Man, it's like, again, I've been talking about this whole world system. Somebody's lying, if not all of them, because they're all saying something different. That, no, I didn't. Yes, I did. Yes, no. It's a lie. There's lies. Lies. Lies everywhere. How many of y'all been lied to recently? Yeah. People have no qualms about lying. So can you imagine in the last 3.5 years when Satan, this is his next attack, when he's telling Israel, you can't trust God. Oh, no, you guys are hiding in the cave. You know what? In a minute, I'm going to be in there. You guys are counting on God. God has never, look what God's done for you ever since Abraham. Look at, man, all the troubles you've had, how many times they tried to take you out, how many people have been killed of you Israelites even in this last couple of years. He's going to start getting lies into their head. What happens when lies get into your head, y'all? You start believing them. You get bombarded with lies. That's where we've got to renew our mind. You get bombarded with lies. And our emotions lie to us. Our desires lie to us. Our thoughts lie to us. All three of those things work together. That's why we've got to renew our minds in the Word of God, so that we hear the truth, because the truth is the only thing that can knock out a lie. So the serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth. Man, a river of lies and negative. Oh, no, this is the way it's going to be. Oh, no, that's the way it's going to be. Oh, you better do this. You better. I mean, doesn't the world do that with us right now? Here's how you're supposed to raise a family. Here's how you're supposed to spend your money. Here's how you're supposed to do this. Here's how you're supposed to do that. And it's all lies if it goes against the Word of God. Amen. But if you hear nothing but lies, you're thinking, well, that must be the truth, if you're not hearing the truth. This world right now is so full of lies in every area of our life. So imagine if they're being flooded by lies and negativity, and Satan would love nothing more than to lose heart. And so serpent poured water like a river out of the mouth of the woman to sweep her away with a flood of lies, I'm just going to say. It could be water, but he's the deceiver. And if he can get her discouraged, then he can beat her. You know, I was saying something to somebody the other day, why I don't like playing games. Before I got saved, I was a competitor. Oh, I was one of the most competitive people on all levels. In fact, against your little Florida State team at Flagler, I went 3-for-4 and had a triple at that stadium, you know? And they were yelling at me at first base, stand up, 12, because I'm so short, you know. And I mean, they had a whole cheering section of trash talk for every player there. But I'm competitive, man. None of that was tearing me down, man. We're going. We're doing this. And part of my job at first base as an unsaved first baseman was to own the umpire. Oh, I schmoozed the umpire. I know him. So any call that came close, he was already on my side. Man, anybody, you know what my other job was? Anybody who got on base, I demolished their morale. I trashed them so bad. I would own them on first. They were scared to even take a lead off because I could get in their head. Can you imagine me getting in somebody's head? Just from the sheer aspect of continuing to talk, and I'd get in their heads, and they would be like, oh, let me go back to the dugout, whatever. I mean, for me, competition and winning as an unsaved person, all no holds barred. Most of it was demolishing the morale of anybody who was on the other team and encouraging my team. And it was amazing how often that worked. They'd list as some short little first baseman, but that was my greatest asset other than hitting was my mouth. And so when I got saved and we're playing Uno, and we're playing Monopoly, and I've got my daughters walking the streets as prostitutes because I'm just joking. But seriously, it was no holds barred in competition, buddy. And as a believer, I just kind of like, wow, I don't know how to win being an encouragement. I don't know how to do that because it was such a big part of the world I lived in was demolishing people so that I could trash them and then I could be better than them. It works. And if Satan just continually is bombarding you with lies, bombarding you with stuff that's not the truth, bombarding you, you start believing it and it affects your performance, you know? And I'm still not very good playing with people. Matthew, like we play disc golf, and I just Matthew took off. I guess he'll be back for the drums. But anyways, we play disc golf. Same thing. I don't know how to play with people. I got to learn. That's God's working on me on that. But I'm not trashing them when we do play. I just kind of got to keep to myself because I know how powerful words and those things are. And that's why we've got to know the truth. If God's still telling us we're going to win, but the enemy's telling us we're going to lose, we need to listen more to God. Amen. So he swept her, was trying to sweep her away with a flood. Look at this. But the earth came to help the woman under God's direction. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from its mouth. So here it is. There's a flood. The picture is God opened up the earth in the second battle to basically take it away. Opening up the earth is when he opens our mind up to the truth, I think. In fact, look here, this is where this comes from, Exodus 15. They say, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Look what you did, God, to Egypt and to Pharaoh. You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. So if the earth is going to swallow, God's certainly capable of making the earth swallow the enemy, literally. But often lies are swallowed up by the truth. And we need to stay under the wings so that we can stay under God's will. You know what God's will is. Maybe not the big picture. Oh, read scripture and you'll know what God's will is not. I've had people tell me before, not anybody in here at this point in time. I can look around and say, not any of you. I'm not talking about any of you. But I can't tell you how many spouses I have had come to me in the past and say, oh, you know what? Pray for me that my wife would divorce me so I can marry this woman that I'm supposed to be with. I'm like, what? Pray for me so that my husband will divorce me so I can be with this knight in shining armor that God has now brought me. No! Yeah, your husband's being an idiot, but God's will is not divorce ever. You know? And so on. And it's like, wait, let's look at what the Word of God says. And when you see what the Word of God says, you know what the truth is. And I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you desire. If it goes against the Word of God, it's wrong. Period. Now, does that mean I have the answer of how to solve this? No. It's going to take a lot of truth, a lot of work to solve anything. But if it's God's will, then God's going to make a way for it to work out. Period. Can't ever get out of God's will. Because as soon as you get out of God's will, man, now you're out from under his wings. What you got to do is you got to know what God's will is by being actually, well, watch this. God's going to make a way for you to stay in his will. One of my favorite verses in the world, 1 Corinthians 10:13, says, no temptation has overtaken you. First thing Satan always wants us to do when he wants us to get out of God's will, when he wants us to violate the word of God, he wants us to feel isolated and feel defeated and feel like we're the only ones in the situation. No one else has felt this way. No one else has had this problem. No, he says, no temptation has overtaken you or come on you that is not common to man. Whatever you're going through, someone else has already gone through, period. In fact, it tells us in it tells us in 1 John 2:16, there's only three ways to be tempted. Lust of the eyes, lust of the heart, and the pride of life. You know, lust of the eyes, lust of the heart, and pride of life. Jesus, when he was being tempted by the devil, lust of the eyes. Hey, look, man, if you see all this, I'll give it to you. Satan says, I'll give it to you if you'll just worship me. And he fought him off. He fought him off with scripture because it's he already owned it. Lust of the flesh. What was the very first thing that Satan asked Jesus to do? Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, right? What if you were fasting for 40 days, what would you be more than anything? Hungry. So what do you think the devil came to him and said, oh, dude, you're hungry, man. I know, it hasn't even been 40 minutes, Selma. We'll have lunch soon, I promise. Was that your stomach that just went boing, 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 boing? No, it was your dad's? Okay. But he said, take these stones and make them bread. Could Jesus have done that? Yeah, what a great idea. You know what? I'm God too. I could do this. But no, he had surrendered to be under his Father's will. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm not doing that. Lust of the eyes. Oh, look, this tree looks so good. Do it. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh, pride of life. Hey, if you jump, man, the angels are going to, he misquoted scripture, and the angels are going to rescue you, and you don't have to go to the cross. No, that's not God's will. So he's pretty convincing in here, and those are the three ways you can be tempted. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Adam and Eve, hey, guess what? They saw the tree. What was that? Lust of the what? Lust of the eyes. She thought that it was going to be good. Just from looking at it, she never obviously got duped by one of Granny's wax apples. How many of y'all remember those things? People used to have those on their table, wax apples and stuff. They're, oh, those are good. But she thought it was going to be good by looking at it, lust of the flesh, and it was going to make her like God. What is that one? The pride of life. They failed by blowing off God's word. Christ succeeded by using God's word in that. And so no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. There's only three ways you can be tempted. And if you listen to God's word, you can be like Christ and succeed. If you don't listen to his word and blow it off, you can be like Adam and even fail. But he says God is faithful. If God is faithful to help somebody, he's going to be faithful to help you, Joey. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. In other words, you can't say, I can't do this. God, I can't do your way, because what God gives us is grace. Fresh for every situation, he will give us grace, the desire and ability to do what he wants us to do. So he's not going to let us get tempted above our ability. I'm not saying this is God. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of what? Escape. So don't try to go dig your own rabbit hole to get out. Don't try to go make your own way of escape. You wait for his. He promises there's going to be a way out of this situation, and that's what he wants to do. He wants you to put your faith and trust in him so that you can always trust that he's got a way out of this. That's the perfect way, not the messed up way. Don't settle for the world's way. But with the temptation, he'll provide a way to escape. So look at this, so that you may be able to endure it. So you're like, I can't do God's will. I can't handle it. I can't do it anymore. I'm not following God's will. I got to go do something else. You know what? Stay under the wings and stay under his will. He says he's going to make a way for you to escape. He's going to make a way for you to endure it. He wants you just to stay under his wings, under his will. Wait it out. Often. Right before God does his best, Satan's offering his second best, and we're running for it. Don't. He's going to give you a way out. Stay under his will. Stay under his wings. You got to stay within his will. And when you make decisions that you know are not part of his will for your life, because the Bible says they're not, you're going the wrong direction. You're getting out from under the wings that are supposed to tickle you. And let me hear your best Sarah Kaufman impersonation. There you go. Barb, I haven't heard one from you yet. You just gave a little smile, man. No, I'm not going to make you do it for everybody, but yeah, we're supposed to be, okay, this is cool. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. That's where we're at. Stay under his wings, stay under his will, and we do that by staying under his word. The word is crucial. Stay under his word. Look at this in Revelation 12. Then the dragon became furious with the woman, Israel, and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring. Who are the rest of her offspring in these last 3.5 years of life? Well, he tells us, on those who keep the what? Commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. What that means is Jesus has testified to say, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one can get to the Father but by me. He gives us promises in his word, just like we just saw. And so we hold to the promises that he's given us. But to hold to them, you got to know them. You got to read it. So to stay under his wings, you've got to be under his will. But to know what his will is, you've got to be in his word. And that's what happened. These folks stayed under God's wings, under his will, and they did it by staying under his word. And they died. They were killed. You're like, well, that doesn't sound like a good plan. It does if you go into heaven when that immediately happens. and even greater rewards because you did it for Christ. But to stay under his will, you got to be in his word or you don't know what it is. Oh, it's God's will for me to do this. How do you know that? That actually goes against Scripture. That's not God's will. God's will be revealed in Scripture. And so I want to show you one more thing of how we know that God's will comes from his word. Paul, in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1 and 2, he says, I appeal to you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What that simply means that you live in this body that desires the flesh and that desires this world, but yet your spirit, when you became a new creation in Christ, he now has given you the desire to do the things of God. In other words, we come to this world as a pig, wanting to wallow in the mud, wanting to don't care about the diseases, and we get born again, he makes us an Angora cat. But we're an Angora cat living in a pig body. Can you imagine? What's the Angora cat going to do? Besides kill you if it could, never mind. But what's the Angora cat going to do when the Angora cat touches mud? Whoa! No! And that's our new nature. But the pig body we have when we're not living in the Spirit, when we're not making our body a living sacrifice, we go back and wallow in that mud. So again, every choice we have in life is this. We are created to honor God and do it God's way. But we have a body, an old flesh body that we live this life in. One day that'll be gone. But for now, we make the choice to do it God's way. That's what it means to present your body as a living sacrifice. As much as my body wants to do it this way, as much as my emotions, my heart and my mind want to do it this way, I'm doing it the way God's word said to do it. And I'm blowing all those things off to do it this way. So present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's how we worship him. He gives us choices all the time to do it his way or our way. And we worship him by doing it his way. So he says, don't be conformed, change from the outside into the world. Don't let the world start changing you. But be transformed from the inside out by the renewal of your what? Your mind. And how do you renew your mind? The word of God. Does your mind ever get old? Does your mind ever get flooded with bad thoughts? Does your mind ever get defeated? Does your mind ever say, it's not worth it? Oh my goodness, this is horrible. You ever get in a funk? World calls it depression. They got a lot of names for it. They got a lot of drugs for it. I got a drug for it. It's the Bible. You get into it and you let God change your mind and let you remind you that you're a winner and not a loser. Remind you that you're on the right track. Remind you that yeah, it's like when the Patriots were playing the Falcons for the Super Bowl and the Falcons were winning 8,000-2. And Patriots looked like there was no way they were ever going to win and could have been defeated. But Bill Belichick, the cheater himself, wouldn't allow that to happen. He told them, and they got out there in the second half, they whooped the Falcons, and somebody made some money, but that's a great story, because that's where we live right now. The world tells us we're losers to live the way we're living, and they're out celebrating and partying and living the way they're living, but one day it's flipped, and we got to keep telling them it's going to be flipped, and we've got to keep believing that it's going to be flipped, so we can keep living that way. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You've got to keep challenging everything with the word of God. So, last verse I'm going to share with you today. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, again, he was out there 40 days. He was hungry. Anybody hungry right now? Anybody admit they're hungry right now? Skylar, are you hungry right now? Yeah, just admit, you're hungry. And this has only been 40 minutes, I think, something like that. But 40 days, he's starving. And Satan came to him and said, if you're, you know, really a son of God, go make these stones into bread. Jesus could have done it instantly, man. He could have made Dixie cream donuts, man, right on the spot. Man, he could have made whatever you like right there. Cannolis. Anybody want some cannolis, man? Yeah, dude, he could have made the best cannolis you ever had right there out of stones. But so the tempter came to him and said, if you are the son of God, if you're really a son of God, if you command these stones be made loaves of bread. But he answered and he said, it is written. Written where? Yeah, did Jesus whip out his little pocket scroll and no, where was Scripture at? It's in his heart. He had memorized it. He knew it. And it's from Deuteronomy. He said, it's written in Deuteronomy. Look at this. Man shall not live by bread alone. We have to eat, but that's not what we're here for. But we live by what? Every word. Say that again. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's how we live, is by God's word. And that's where our encouragement, because if we're under his word, then we're going to be under his will. And if we're under his will, we're under his wings. And instead of it being horrendous, it's going to tickle. And you're going to be like Sarah Kaufman. One more time. Perfect. I'm glad some of y'all participated in that. So war on earth requires a battle plan. Stay under his wings, stay under his will by staying under his word. But in order to be that, you got to be born again. At some point, you got to understand you're a sinner. You understand that sin has to be paid for, and there's no way you can pay for it. So you have no admission into heaven because you got no way to pay for it. But you realize Christ lived a perfect life, died on a cross as a sinner. He paid for our sin. And if you can understand that, he's allowing you to understand that. And it's a matter of you surrender and saying, yeah, that's what I want, God. I want your perfection to cover my imperfection and save me. And if God's giving you the desire and ability to do that today, man, go for it. Nobody in this building's ever done it and wish they hadn't. Just all of us wish we had done it sooner. But it starts by being saved. And that's how you go to heaven. That's how you can understand his word. That's how you can understand his will. And you can stay under the wings of protection. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that you gave this to me this way. I know when you gave it to me, you put it all together. There's an excitement that there were people that were going to need this today, starting with me. Father, it's hard to admit that we're under your wings being tickled when we're grumpy. When we're being overwhelmed by all the circumstances in the world and the situations and everything else. But under your wings, there's a sense of peace. To know that you've got it all handled, to know that you love us, and that this world is the worst that we're ever going to experience. But you've got plans even here for that. So Father, I pray that if there's somebody here that needs to be under your wings, but they don't have a relationship with you, that you give them a desire for that today, a desire they can't refuse. But help us as believers to stay under your wings, under your covering, under your protection. But to do that, we've got to stay under your will. Father, if there's anybody here tempted to justify running out from under your will, Father, I pray that you would discourage them and encourage them to stay in your will, that you're a God who wants to do things so supernatural that only you get blamed. And often that is bringing situations into our life that we don't understand and we feel like we can't handle. But help us again through your word to stay under your will by realizing there's no temptation taking us, but such is common to man. But you are faithful who will not allow us to be tempted above we're able, but with the temptation you will make a way to escape. That you got a plan for all of this. Father, those tribulation saints, within a matter of months, they're going to be living in eternity with you in a perfect place with perfect bodies. Father, let that be an encouragement to us. So if there's somebody tempted to run from your will, Father, I pray you would give them what it takes to stay under it. I pray they would find that in your word, and I pray we would all love your word more than we love anything else. Except for you. I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.